I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 13th of May. You're listening to Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme, with invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours, catching up with all the latest news from around the UK and Europe and the world in general. If you want to get involved with today's Viewpoint, if there is a subject that you wish to discuss, if you want to get something national, local, international off your collective chests, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on plus 34645 9967 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
But first of all, let's look at the headlines, look at the papers. The Daily Mirror leads on what it calls the mystery of the fire at the Prime Minister's home in North London. Neighbours told the paper they were woken by loud noises in the early hours of the morning and firefighters racing to the scene. There are Times reports that Kasir Sharma had been letting out the house, thought to be worth £2 million since moving into Downing Street last summer. Counter-terrorism police are leading the investigation into the fire, but according to the Daily Telegraph, their involvement is routine, given the property's high-profile owner. The Guardian reports on an angry backlash from some MPs against Starmer's changes to the immigration system. Having said the UK risks becoming an island of strangers, the Prime Minister's critics have likened his rhetoric to that of Enoch Powell. Of course, rivers of blood, etc. The Daily Mirror uses its editorial to urge the Prime Minister to choose his words more carefully when warning inflammatory language fans. The hostility he wishes to avoid. We have heard it all before is the withering assessment of the Daily Express on Sir Keir Starmer's immigration speech. The Sun's leader says he sounded like a tribute act to the last five Tory leaders as he vowed to take back control of our borders. According to the Daily Mail, the Conservative MPs have branded the Prime Minister Starmer Chameleon. That's rather good, as in Karma Chameleon, you see. After he spent years backing open border, the Financial Times reports on what it calls the truce between the United States and China in their trade war. The paper says a temporary cut to export tariffs for at least 90 days will fuel hopes that the damage to the world's two largest economies can be contained. The Guardian says President Trump has caved, probably swayed by dire warnings from retailers about the prospects of empty shelves. And finally, a low-key barbecue instead of a bus parade has been planned for Manchester United's players if they win next week's Europa League final against Tottenham. The Sun says on the back of their worst league campaign in more than 50 years, Manchester United have opted against fanning the flames. But the paper concludes the stakes are high. Stakes as in barbecue steaks. So those headlines again from the top this morning. The Daily Star actually leads with a serious story. So, Kia house ablaze, terror cops in PM fire probe. Daily Telegraph, terror probe into arson at PM's home. Meanwhile, the Daily Mirror, terror cops probe blaze at PM's home. The Daily Express, we have heard it all before, but now it is time to deliver. Grenade in the room, care homes warn of closure over home office migrant visa ban. The Daily Mail, and this is Labour's taking us all for fools. Starmer ridiculed over plan with no cap on numbers, recycle policies and all, which goes against everything they've believed in. They've also got a story about why so many think Elon Musk is father to Amber Heard's surprise twins. Amber Heard's estranged wife of Johnny Depp, of course. That her. The Guardian, PM, accused of echoing far-right rhetoric in immigration speech. Their front page is a picture of Hamas freeing the last living American hostage. The Times, Starmer house fires mystery. And they've got a photograph, which is a migration plan to curb 100,000 arrivals a year. Financial Times, China and US call truce in trade war with deal to slashing, punishing tariffs. The Metro. 50 years for Putin's minions. Despicable Bulgarian spy gang jailed. This is the sentencing of a Bulgarian spy ring to a total of 50 years in jail. The six members, which the headline dubs Putin's minions, were paid to plot the kidnap, murder and smearing of Vladimir Putin's enemies in the UK. For 3 years, the group passed intel to Russian agents from a home in Great Yarmouth. And those are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 13th of May. Sailing on its tranquil waters, I'm delighted to be joined. Andreas Gajola is due in, me think, but I'm joined by the ever eloquent, effervescent, and urbane Tim Stafford. Good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, Giles.
And how are you on this fine morning?
I'm very well. It's overcast. I'm used to blazing sun, and of late, yes, it's been a little bit. A little bit south coast of England.
Right, and not in, you know, sort of, yes, anyway. Yes, well, you're looking very well indeed. 952-78-4000. Good morning, all those sending me hearty greetings. And, yes, I know it happened. I know it's an ecstasy of silence. It happened last week. I know it happened last week. Thank you very much indeed. I need to get a warning on that. So I will, that will be dealt with in due course. Now then, this has been a very interesting 10 days in UK politics. 952-78-4000 listeners, you want to get involved with this, get your viewpoint across. Because we saw the elections last week, the local elections. And we saw quite stunning gains for the Reform Party, taking swathes of the northeast. My county, Staffordshire, is going to be run by Reform, and an appalling week for the Conservatives, and not good news for Sir Keir Starmer. And yesterday he makes this speech with language that you wouldn't have expected a Conservative MP, a Labour leader to have come out with. The Daily Express, obviously I'm not a huge fan of them, but they actually said it was like a tribute act to the past five Conservative prime ministers, and that's a boy band that you'd like to, or a pop band you'd like to see, wouldn't it? You know, think about that one: Sunak, Johnson, May, Cameron, and another who has probably gone past. But anyway, an island of strangers. We risk becoming an island of strangers. The rhetoric, Tim. Now,
yes.
In your viewpoint, do you think, listeners, let me know, is this a lurch to the right for Labour to try and appeal to what were previously Labour strongholds? Immigration is a big thing in what became the, you know, the red wall seats that Johnson took in that election. Do you think that Starmer really means this? Do you think it's a ill-timed lurch to appeal to Labour voters who may have been swayed by a reforms policy on immigration?
Well, it's an opportunistic, well, in fact, for maybe on the back, or especially with Farage being the man he is, on the back of Donald Trump's a very strong and it turns out to be effective action on immigration, I think Farage sees this as a tremendous vote winner.
Yeah.
Because, and that's the bottom line, that this is a vote issue, that, you know, this is something that the British public are very strong in wishing to be addressed. Unfortunately, the consequences of this sort of more radical policy will be that those institutions who do require immigrants in the sense that, that people come to work in care homes, things of that kind, will be the ones who immediately suffer. And that is not what the people of Britain actually want. They don't want that form of immigration to be addressed at all. I mean, that's a sort of a European issue. The reason we came to this that ghastly Brexit decision in the absurd referendum that was allowed was because people saw that their culture was being taken away. It's certainly in cities and larger towns, and that the sort of the bedrock of English or British life was being undermined by cultures which seemed to be at odds with the way of our thinking. And say it was immigration from other countries, Islamic countries, those types of places, which people were objecting to, rather than the sort of normal movement of people for reasons of employment and so on that would occur from Europe into Britain. So it's a subtraction of culture that people were objecting to. And that hasn't changed a great deal. That, you know, if one travels to places north, usually, in England, one can be standing on a railway platform and thinking, well, I wonder which country I'm in here. And that sounds dreadful. I know it does, because I'm a libertarian in every sense. I'm not a conservative, even though it may sound that I am. But that is what people see. That's their experience. It's observable that something has been subtracted from British culture. And this is going to be used until there is a much more stringent series of policies, which possibly won't be within Starmer's power, come into force. So we sort of go Australian, I'm sorry, if you're not a degree level useful employee or highly trained in some speciality, you're not coming in to stay here, and so on. And it's not as if it's a sort of major issue in the sense, if you come to Spain and try to obtain your residency, you're asked to jump through quite a few hoops, and rightly so. So you will not be a burden in any sense on the state. There are ways to deal with this kind of thing which are reasonable, rational, and in human rights terms, fair. But it's a huge political football that is going to be kicked around until our immigration policy is completely shored up.
The quote unquote, the experiment is over and the lab is shut. That was what he said yesterday. The experiment is over and the lab is shut. So have we been playing? Two things struck me from this as well. Right. Have we been, you know, it's an experiment. I mean, we're talking about people's lives here. Second thing is, right, many of the papers are going, declaring this is quite right too, because now you have to live in, it used to be 5 years and then you'd be granted residency, and that's going to be 10 years. And now there's going to be, you're going to have to be able to speak Not more than conversational English, and not only you, but your family, your descendant, you know, your descendants, going to say, but you know what I'm saying, your entire family will have to be able to speak English at a more than conversational level. Now, if they make that reciprocal, for example, in certain areas of the Iberian Peninsula, that would have a huge impact. Imagine the outcry with that one, Gul Blimey, Governor Unas of Aether, etc. I mean, I get where you're coming from with saying you can be standing on a platform wondering in which nation you are, but perhaps that is one of the... It has always been so in the 70s, you know, Bradford, etc., Edgbaston, the West Indies, the West Indian Windrush people who came in, Notting Hill. You know, we were in London in the 80s, Tim, come on, you know that you go to certain parts of your Balham, Notting Hill before it became gentrified, etc. They were... Yeah, Hounslow, you go towards Heathrow, you're going down Hounslow High Street and you think, my goodness, but the Edgware Road, for example. So you can only, being British shouldn't be a thing of the colour of your skin, which I think this is what it's saying. And if we all become, and also it can very skewer your view of what being a certain nationality is, belonging to a certain nationality, we should be celebrating that. But my fear is to say an island of strangers is going to be something. With trembling hand, we have a call in. So I go to the lines and I say, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, this is Charles in Mallorca.
Morning, Charles.
And, talking about immigrants.
I know, interesting, wasn't it?
I'm a South Londoner.
Right.
Okay, loads and loads of immigrants in the school I went to in near New Cross. Yeah, there was 1/3 of our year that were kids, almost certainly Windrush kids, actually.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we've had immigration since the war, since before I was born. I was born in 1951. Yeah, I'm an old geezer, right?
First flush of youth, my friend.
I wish. We've had plenty of immigration. My wife's an immigrant. Okay, she's from Baghdad. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
You know, and we're married nearly 50 years. And the reason why she was here. She's actually, her family are Syrians, okay, they're Christians, but they were treated badly in Baghdad in 1967 because of all the wars that were going on as a result of the formation of Israel and the 67 war. All the Jews were kicked out, effectively, from, there was a very big Jewish community in Baghdad. They were kicked out. We will have immigration, and the more we foster wars, the more immigration we will have, because why do people move? Because they don't feel safe where they are.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. Absolutely with you on that one, Murphy. Yep.
Even though directly the Assyrians had no reason to, I mean, they're a sub-community, like, say, the Mallorquins in Spain.
Yep.
Yeah. They had no reason really to be worried there, but they typically had names that sounded Jewish. My wife's actually an Elizabeth. Her uncle was Uncle David. Yeah, they have names that are typically associated with the Jews.
Yeah.
And so they were discriminated against there. And a lot of them moved to the UK. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we carry on fostering wars, as we are at the moment, we're helping Israel with their genocide. What are we going to expect? There's 2 million people going to be looking for places to go. And what's the major international language? English. So where's the obvious place to go to?
Well,
the,
yeah.
That's our soft power as English.
Yeah.
That's our soft power, is that we can, as I say to many Spanish friends, my Spanish is conversational, but not brilliant. Apropos of the other point of what you were making earlier.
Yeah.
you know, our language, English, is a double-edged sword. In one way, it means I can go to almost anywhere in the world and I'll find somebody that I can talk to, somebody that will can understand me and translate for me if I need to. By the other, of course, it takes away the necessity to learn another language.
Absolutely.
I've got Danish and Dutch friends who speak four languages. No problem. And it's, you know, I'm really annoyed that my Spanish is not perfect even now after half my life here.
Got some more calls coming. If it's okay with you, I'd like to go to the... Thank you very much for your call in.
Go for it.
Thank you very much. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Half my life here.
Got some more calls coming. If it's okay.
You've got your radio on. Can you turn that in the background, please?
Oh, sorry.
I can hear myself in my own ear, and that's always a worrying concept.
The reason I do that is because when someone phones in and they're waiting for a few minutes to get through, they don't have any contact with what you're saying.
Ah.
So therefore,
well, to be honest, no, most of the panel don't.
You say, we've just covered that. We just mentioned it.
Right,
you
know, okay.
You must be an idiot.
I consider myself chastised then. Okay.
I pressed the wrong button to turn off. I always turned off the phone.
Right.
No, the point I was going to make is that your guest there, whose name I didn't quite catch.
Tim. Yeah.
In fact, he sort of likened the rules that apply in England to the rules that apply when we come to live in Spain. But there is a difference. The people who are applying in England are probably applying for asylum, so therefore they don't have any stringent problems. The people like us who come to live in Spain have to prove that we have all the necessary paperwork and income and so on. But they're two different things. I mean, someone going to England would get in as an asylum seeker, would get in without any income or medical or anything else. It's different. Coming to Spain, if we came to Spain as an asylum seeker, we'd get in too.
So,
but we come as an immigrant.
We come for economic migration, then, could you say?
Well, yeah, we come because we want to move here and live here. I mean, I did that 40 years ago, and I wanted to come and live here, so therefore it's reasonable that they got to accept that I'm okay. But if I came here as somebody seeking asylum, I would have got in anyway, which is Spain, that's an enormous number of people in. Just a point in passing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call in. 952-78-4000. To the WhatsApp we go. To the WhatsApps we go, which are... I'll give you the numbers in which to contact us.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And so to the WhatsApps we go. Just a comment from Peter. Just a comment. I grew up on the edge of Southall. Didn't worry then, and if I still lived there, it wouldn't worry me now. I moved as I couldn't afford to live in London due to yuppies pushing prices up. That's one of them. Meanwhile, hi, I think you're mixing up legal residence and citizenship. Okay, thank you for that. This in a small proportion of the country's imagination. Tim, oh, sorry, in a small proportion of the country's imagination, Tim, immigration is the scapegoat and certainly not the case of the UK's problems. It's far easier to blame the disenfranchised than the billionaires like Farage and the utility companies who've completely screwed us over. So there you go. Meanwhile, the tribute bands, by the way, of Five Prime Ministers is the Backstreet Bums, according to, yes, indeed. Starmer is trying to quell reform, which is silly given reform have zero traction. Winning local elections with zero passy is not the same as winning a majority nationally. Culture in the UK, it is dreadful. Imagine how the Spanish feel pottering around speaking English. With such a massive change of tune, it's incumbent on politicians to explain their U-turn honestly and in detail, rather than trying to con us to thinking what they say now is entirely consistent with what they said only a few years ago. There's nothing wrong with migration, given that it's two-way. A few bits of breaking news, and thank you for sending this to me. Pope Leo XIV, the American Pope, He's going to go to Ukraine. That's in La Repubblica. I think it's the name of that. And also breaking that the Paris prison court has found actor Gérard Depardieu guilty of sexual assault. But there's some breaking news for you here on TRA Talk Radio. Up your voice in Spain. I'm joined by Tim Stafford. If you want to get a viewpoint across to me.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers to get in touch with us if you wish to get in touch with us today. The other thing is, obviously, they were targeting some areas that they were going to be or Starmer said in his speech yesterday morning, that he was, one of the particular things that he was looking at was care workers. And this wouldn't be, they were going to make it much harder for care workers to come. Now, and I was listening to John Sopel last night on the News Agents podcast. And his mother or something, is in a care home. And he said, you know, if you go to a care home in the UK now, you would be hard-pressed to find an English person working in a care home. It seems to be the preserve of people from the Philippines, people from Africa, and people from the Indian subcontinent who are doing that. And you have to look at care work and nursing in general as... It's not the same. It's not unskilled labor. It isn't unskilled labor. These people have to be highly skilled, and it's a tough job. And by doing this and making it harder for care workers to come over, or saying that you can't bring your family, then you are going to be putting the elderly and those the most vulnerable in that. You're giving that care over to either massively understaffed or people who don't want to be there because they would rather get the same amount from being on benefits. And you don't become a care worker by doing a 2-week training course. So this, you know, that was one thing that struck me. And also this thing about we want to attract only the brightest of those with a university degree, et cetera, right? I kind of get that. But in the meantime, this is always going to come back. Who's going to do the hospitality industry? Who's going to do the quote unquote crops in the fields? Because they were the preserve, if you like, of people from Eastern Europe. Poles in the hospitality industry, because you would go to London and go anywhere, or go to Bournemouth, and you would find that, you know, lots of Poles working in the hospitality industry there, the pubs. And I remember going to, what's the wine bar above Liverpool Street Station? Corny and Barrow, thank you. And it was full of Polish workers, I mean a Polish butter. And also, you know, it's well documented about the problems of getting English, of getting, you know, British nationals to come and to work the fields. So, but care workers, I mean, care working is obviously going to be an interesting one because as the demographics of Europe in general are getting older, and we know that this is an issue. Tim, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so let me transport you to Pool Sandbanks, where there's Tim, and he's...
Don't say Speedos.
No, he doesn't wear, shorts.
Right,
anyway,
yes.
And there he is, and the surgery which he attends, which used to have something in the order of 6,000 people, patients, I should say, now has a sort of a exponentially grown sort of 20,000 because, I mean, houses have been converted into flats and so on. Well, there used to be one family, there are now sort of three or four. And that a great many migrants, or principally European migrants and others, have come and to make a new life. And so waiting lists and the reception is a little bit testy. And so on. And then, of course, I decide that one end of my house needs somebody in it. So a Spanish girl comes over, trained in care, to work in the care homes that there are on that particular piece of coast. And she's paid reasonably well, and she doesn't have to pay any tax until she goes above the threshold of something like £10,000. And bravely, with hardly any language, goes on. and impressively. And that was a typical thing that agencies for care would do, which is to go to places where at the time Spanish unemployment was high, especially among the young, and bring these people who needed work over to fulfill those tasks.
952, sorry, nine, yep. Sorry, I've got a call on the line. Monica, you're live on Thierry. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's Johnny Meehan.
Yes, John.
Regarding care home workers and carers in general, shouldn't it be that they should start paying them a proper rate to do the job they're doing and training them in order to be able to do it? And then maybe a lot of the unemployed in England, I believe there are an excess of unemployed, will actually maybe take up that employment. But if you're paying like basic wages, it's not a great job to do. And you mentioned Filipinos. I'm actually married to a Filipino. I know that many, many young people in the Philippines actually train to become carers because they intend to move abroad to try and earn a living. That means they're highly qualified at doing what they do. And as it happens, being Filipinos, they actually all speak English as well. So the thing is, if you don't train the people to do the job, then you can't then say we can't find people to fill the posts.
Thank you for your call. Thank you for the call in there. Meanwhile, on the other line, morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Peter from Iznaca.
Good morning, Peter from Iznaca. And how is Iznaca today?
Well, I'm actually down in San Pedro pruning some palm trees at the moment.
Right, okay.
With earplugs in.
Oh, fair enough. Your earbuds, not your earplugs. I mean, I know I'm not that good, but yeah.
Anyway, so what I wanted to say was that I said I grew up on the edge of Southall, which was a predominantly Asian area. And I can only say that all the immigrants I've known over the years, including Poles, etc., have always worked hard.
Oh, absolutely, hello. Yeah.
Hello, I'm getting crossover now.
You just keep talking, Peter, and...
Oh, sorry, right, okay, so I was getting crossover. Okay, so, yeah, grew up... I'll tell you what, I'm going to call back. Cancel me.
All right, I'm going to Peter, you've been cancelled. I don't think there we are. And as my Welsh grandmother used to say, and there he was gone. 952-78-4000. I'm going to take a quick break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Lively, discussing the poetry of John Donne off air. That's what we get up to here. Oh, hello, we go live to lines. Hello, Collier. Have you been waiting there all the time? I'm totally sorry.
Back again.
Forgive me.
Back again, right, what yes. can I say? Back again. My app was crossing over on the phone for some reason. Anyway, so grew up on the edge of Southall. Knew, obviously, lots of Asian friends. And then as you had the new migration of the Poles, etc., found everyone hardworking, always willing to go that extra mile to help out the local people. But having been a person who grew up and started work in 1980, I have to say, for me, the destruction of English society, whatever you want to call it, and Englishness, started with Margaret Thatcher, selling everything off and turning everyone into me, me, me. That's my thought on it.
So you think becoming the 80s, loads of money, the mobile generation led to
No one caring about the person next door anymore. I mean, at the time, I worked for London Borough of Hillingdon as an arborist, and I can safely say, having worked, and later on for private companies around London, I saw the destruction of society because no one cared anymore. And it's nothing to do with immigration. It was to do with a general, sod you lot, I'm all right, Jack.
Okay, sorry, that's the way you put that. That was I wasn't laughing at you, so I just that was rather well put. Thank you for your call in. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your day topping palms in San Pedro.
Thank you very much.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Are you on the Paseo or are you actually in San Pedro itself?
No, I'm actually up in Del Capitan, which is...
I know it very well. Yeah. I know that area. Have a great day. Be careful up there, as they just said, Hill Street, please.
Always.
All right.
Always.
Thank you very much. 952-78-4000 is the phone number.
Well, I went to a centre of sadism type of school where...
Right.
Where...
Is that an option? Then couldn't you play fives instead?
Compulsory. And... And there were people, pupils from all over the world, and some military children and everything else as well. And, I was very used to the sort of multiculturalism, But at that time, I think there was something in the order of 4 million people in the UK.
Yeah.
And if you look at the population as it is now, and the sort of accelerated immigration that there has been in recent, the last 20 years, one can begin to understand how the pressures, this is a practical issue, how the pressures of have come to be on our infrastructure and institutions, I mean, the National Health Service and so on, sheer numbers. And it's hard, you know, people won't accept that. The moderate among people won't accept that it is a sheer numbers issue.
Yeah.
And it is. There are those who will hold on to something which is very separate from the immigration that used to we had from, let's say, India, the West Indies, and things from my youth. Because either Hindu or Christian, those people had much more likelihood of eventually integrating. Okay, there was nothing's perfect in this world, and so on. But there was a reasonable chance. But in terms of the immigration that has happened latterly, is my view kindly, and we should all be taken as individuals, unique as we are. Sort of Islamic sort of tide has changed people's view. In terms of, this is this is a Christian country, but we do not have a Christian sort of core ethos in some parts of the country. And people have been very frightened to suggest these things or to use it in their voting because they don't want to be perceived as being racist. And quite right, they should have a very good, long, hard think about their view on other religions and certainly other colours, and that is one of the issues. But the truth is, the UK, particularly the small set of islands that we are, has been under a great deal of pressure in terms of numbers.
Islamic tide. That sounds like the sort of detergent you use. It sounds like the detergent you use on your burqa. You know,
you do. You wash your burqa
with Islamic tide.
Yeah, and you have a conditioner as well.
Okay. 952 to the WhatsApps. Sorry, to the WhatsApps we go. Let's see what is happening out there. And, oh, by the way, I've got a poll up. Yes, indeed. No, not like that. And you'll see on the Talk Radio Europe official Facebook page, and I'll be doing it off the hoof, but I'm asking, is Sir Keir Starmer right to describe the UK as a nation of strangers? Now, I am aware that I've spelt Keir Starmer incorrectly, but in my defence, I was doing that with my left hand whilst my right hand was doing something else, trying to get the phones organised. So please don't shoot me down in flames for that. So if you want to get involved with that poll, let me know. It's only just gone up. Are we a nation? Is the UK a nation of strangers? And get involved with that. I'm just going to bring you some of the comments from the other polls, because obviously we try and run a poll every week here on the on Viewpoint to let you know what is crossing. We've got only a couple of votes in so far, so I will bring this in a little bit later. But looking at the poll from last week and some of the comments from last week's as well, I'll just do that. By the way, if you haven't been to the Talk Radio Europe Facebook page recently, we've now got audio stabs. So you can listen to the bits and pieces from some highlights from the show, for example, from Anna's show this morning. So there, have you been on the Talk Radio Europe the Facebook page recently?
I can't say that I have.
Yeah, well, I think you should flock over there. So looking at last week's poll. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. And, I asked the following question, if I can find the thing, and I obviously, here we go. He said, hopefully, I asked a middle-aged man talking to himself. Where the bleeding hell has it gone? Okay, right. If you want to get yourself... That's disappeared for some strange reason. Let me Let me just do this while I try and find the thing of which I was looking for.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Live to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Charles in Mallorca again.
Good morning, Charles.
The thing of immigrants, your guest Tim referred to the Islamic tide.
Yes.
Well, that's the tide at the moment is only because that's where the problems are and generated by ourselves amongst others. But but what Britain needs to do, and Spain, I might add, is to make an effort to actually get these people to integrate, which includes us, right? How many people do you know, how many Brits do you know who have been here 20, 30 years and can hardly do more than ask for, you know...
Una cerveza, por favor.
Exactly. And it's a ridiculous situation. It's an absolutely ridiculous situation. It is not the Spaniards' fault, it's not the Spanish government's fault, or the British government's fault that someone can only, you know, speak in Urdu or Arabic or whatever, but it is in the country's interest, again, this applies to both countries equally, that they get the people to assimilate, to make a greater effort to push people to assimilate. I wish that had been the case with me, then my Spanish now would be perfect rather than still imperfect.
Thanks.
Yeah?
Yep.
It makes sense indeed,
and you get a much more, you make a much greater identity with the culture as well. I've got some more calls coming in, my friend, so if it's okay with you, I'm going to go to the other calls. Thank you for calling.
Absolutely.
952, thank you very much. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning. My name is Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to know, I'm an ordinary lay person, but can you tell me how the British government can afford to pay illegal immigrants money and they can't afford to look after their elderly?
Can't afford to look after? You mean that we should be having subsidised care homes, or what do you generally mean, or more of a pay? I mean, there's a pension system, so how do you...
They've cut the pension, they've cut the heating allowance,
yep.
And that they can find money to pay illegal immigrants. I'm not being racist anyway,
of course.
But they've paid nothing into the system, and they're taking it all out. The elderly have paid into the system, and they can't get money. Can you explain why?
I can't explain why, because I'm not in the government, but I've maybe somebody can is going to phone in. The phones are going wild. Is it okay if we go off to somebody else at this moment?
Yep, thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's John in Buena Vista.
John, Hi. How are you?
Very well, sir, very well.
Right.
Right, well, I disagree with one of the last callers. It's nothing to do with a difference in language, in my opinion. It's completely to do with a difference in culture. Because, I mean, as Brits abroad, as Brits in Spain, we're culturally aligned with the Spanish people. The problem is, in the UK, it's the Muslim problem. And they do not integrate.
Right.
We are heathens, according to them.
What? That's heathens?
Heathens.
That's, well, I was waiting for that word today, heathens, but there, thank you very much.
Now you've got it. They don't want to integrate into our society. They scorn our religion. That was the problem with the Pakistani raping grooming gangs. They have no regard for white people, let alone white women, who to them should be subservient and used as sex slaves, basically.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you. Is that the point? Yeah, obviously. No.
The point is that the Muslim people don't really want to integrate into Christian society.
That's a bit of a broad sweeping brush, wouldn't you say?
I only have a short time. I have to use a large brush.
All right. Thanks very much for your call in. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Going to go to a break and then back with more viewpoints.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And just to let you know, I'm going to be speaking to Sir James Global clients on my Let's Talk show on Monday the 19th, which is obviously next Monday. 952-78-4000. To the WhatsApps we go. It's been rather lively this morning. Just saying hello. You might want to look at the review revenue migrants bring to the UK. Without them, we would be very much worse off. That's from Richard in Puerto Banús. Meanwhile, where are you getting this from, Tim? When did you last live in the UK? The infrastructure is breaking due to years of underinvestment from successive governments, not immigrants. I replied to the bigot last on, okay? The Brits don't integrate the Muslims here in Mallorca do, along with many other immigrants here. They don't want to do the job. No, they won't. They don't want to do the job. Okay. 952, corny and barrow, more like horny and shallow. Thank you so much. Yes, I shall use that. Well, that was back in the day. Just to let you know, I'm not a radio DJ, I'm a presenter, dear boy. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio. In fact, I will let the lovely Lucy do that instead.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are indeed the numbers. Right, going to the national international news, and then we're back with more Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, and Tim Stafford after the national and international news here on TRE.
Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. Welcome back to the second half of Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, joined in the studio by Tim Stafford. We're talking immigration, etc. If you want to get involved with this morning's show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And the poll, which is on Talk Radio Europe Official on Facebook, I've asked the question to Sakir Starmer. Right to describe the UK as a nation of strangers. Yes, 34%. No, 66%. Not doing a don't know on this one. Clive, thank you. I live in Spain, but it's obvious that most Spanish people are more accepting of us than Brits are of foreigners. Let me know if you agree with that one. And to the WhatsApps we go. Presenters can be replaced by AI. Step it up to broadcaster. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. The day that this show is run by AI, an Arnie Schwarzenegger type to do Viewpoint, get to the chopper.
Yeah, I actually do have artificial intelligence.
I just wish I had intelligence, to be honest with
well,
you.
Well, I could say artificial ignorance in my case. But, that's more to the point.
Rudimentary fish.
Yeah, rudimentary. Now, the integration.
Yes.
in the 50s, 60s and 70s, the United States decided, I mean, it's a federal decision, that they would start to build, in building mode, affordable, let's say affordable housing, to use a sort of awful word, awful phrase.
Why is affordable housing an awful phrase?
Well, because it infer... Anyway, let's
not go down that one, come
on. And so they did. But their idea was that they would have... It was for young families, people who needed a sort of decent housing, and invested state by state quite a lot of money in doing so. But what actually happened was that... because the properties were relatively cheap compared with the rest of the market, a lot of black people were likely to move there. So what they did, they, unbeknownst to them from the start, they created what might be called ghettos, where black on black shootings, gang, they created bad areas. With the best will in the world. Integration is a very complex issue. And again, to use that word culture, there has to be a mixture of culture, if you like, cultures. The language issue, which Starmer seems to have raised, is sort of semi-absurd, because the measuring stick for linguistic is ridiculous. And to be perfectly fair to let us say English speaking people, wherever you go in the world, you're not going to have total immersion, which is what's required for a switch in languages, because everybody speaks English. Or you can't even, if you try and sort of inflict your Spanish on people here on the Costa del Sol, they'll pretty soon realise that your Spanish is relatively rudimentary. Therefore, we'll go to the lingua franca, which will be English. Go to some very remote place, it might be a different story.
9527 8000. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Johnny Meehan.
Hi, John.
In fact, Tim has just effectively covered the point I was going to make.
Psychic Tim, you see, he knows of which you speak, John.
Exactly. I mean, I sympathise with older Brits that come to Spain to retire and just spend their money that's generated in the UK for the benefit of Spain when they don't learn the language. Because as Tim said, when you go to a shop and try to speak Spanish, they want to deal with you as quickly as possible. If they speak English, they'll speak English to anybody and get rid of them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, put it this way, it is easier to try and speak Spanish, or it's more accommodating than you ever try speaking France or the French. You are trying to order a coffee, un café au lait, s'il vous plaît, and they know that you're British and they look at you with a disdain. And good morning to all my French friends who are now sharpening their baguettes or whatever. But yeah.
Right. I started learning Spanish when I came here about 40 years ago, and I started about 4 or 5 or 6 years after I came to learn Spanish. And my incentive was, at that time I was single and I was looking for a girlfriend. And I thought, if I speak Spanish, I got a wider opportunity, which in fact that's what happened. Then as I started learning Spanish, I then volunteered to work at the police station, which I did for 24 years as a translator. Voluntary translator. But the problem with when you're trying to speak, and in fact a Spanish person told me this, I said, I go to a shop, I try to speak to them in Spanish, they answer me in English. He said, just say, you're from Russia. So I used to go to a shop and I'd say, soy de Rusia, no comprendo inglés. Then they'd speak to me in Spanish, because they didn't speak Russian, fortunately. And when I left, I'd say, I'm sorry, of course I'm English, but I need the practice. But this is the problem that I know, I say from 24 years working at the police station, there are lots of people who lived here for 20, 30 years who can barely order a coffee.
Yeah.
But I'd say it's not entirely their fault. And on the integration thing, so I've lived here for 40 years, I'm still very British, well, Irish, but I'm still very British. I'm not Spanish in sort of any way at all, although I'm going to make gazpacho for lunch today. So integration is a strange thing,
I'd like, actually, that should be Tim, that should be the thing for integration, or your residency, or your thing. Can you make one of the national dishes? So in your case, John, you can get together a tempura, maybe a tortilla, maybe a paella without chorizo. Obviously, in the British case, you'd have to make a decent cup of tea, sausage sandwich, perhaps bacon eggs. What do you think, Tim?
Yorkshire puddings.
I gotcha. It's like saying, oh, you get that souffle going, as a no pressure. Yeah. The Great British Bake Off immigration lottery, I can see it now.
Yeah, well, we had the failure, well, I suppose it still carries on, of Esperanto. And
nobody speaks it. I mean, it's what you did in the 70s at school in the language lab, Esperanto.
Yeah, ridiculous. And but in this modern age, if you plug a device into your... I mean, this could make language difficulties a thing of the past. AI and so on, that you plug something into your ear and somebody...
Oh, the Babelfish from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, yeah.
Tower of Babel, and the Babelfish...
So let's just get John... Go on, John.
Come back before you finish. It just occurs to me, as Tim was saying that I actually... I've taken a couple of times out of interest the tests that people would need to pass in English to become English.
Yes.
And I've failed the test each time.
Everybody, and if you're on a TV reality show, you probably fail the tests as well. You know, if you're in the only way is Essex, you probably wouldn't get citizenship.
One of the questions was, what's the population of Wales?
Welsh.
Well, it almost denies anybody to know what the population is.
And do you know what the population of Wales is? And don't say an awful lot of sheep, because otherwise, you know...
Because it's 4 million, because I looked it up.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that... To me, that's a stupid question to ask anybody. My wife applied for Spanish nationality, and she was asked similarly, what I say, stupid questions.
About the population of Wales?
I mean, who knows the population of Wales, except maybe some Welsh people.
Indeed.
But most British people would not know. I say British.
I could have said, last time I looked, the principality was still there. Anyway, I get the point.
Okay.
Thanks very much indeed. Yes, that whole thing about, you know, I mean, a friend of mine once went to, she's of Andalus extraction. She went on holiday to India. She was getting her chakras aligned, or whatever the hell you do over there. And she came back via Heathrow. And because she is family originally from the Andalusia Sevilla, and as you know, there are an awful lot of similarities between the inhabitants of Triana, because they came over, Gitanos came over from India originally several centuries ago, and passport control at Heathrow, you know, they got some minion going, no, you're obviously, because she'd obviously got a suntan, and they decided that she wasn't Spanish at all. She obviously had a dodgy Spanish passports, and there were all sorts of problems trying to get her back in before she convinced people that she was in fact Spanish. Probably made us a tear. Anyway, Tim.
Yes, and, you know, one has to wonder, you know, it's not about skin colour, as that lady just exampled there. One can tell nothing from that. And also, one can't tell very much from accents.
Norman Tebbit, the cricket test. You remember that one?
Yeah, so who you support?
Supporting cricket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so on. But again, that's where do we cover? We all come from Adam and Eve, or some sort of
rudimentary fish, lungs
and fish on the shore coming over here, and that sort of thing.
Please explain, by the way, this is scratching why we keep going about rudimentary fish.
Yeah, there's a great English comedian. He's not satirical exactly. But anyway, his name is Stuart Lee, and he's got a tremendous sketch. observations on immigration, where the Huguenots coming over here from France, teaching us lace making, the Romans in road, and he brings it right down to fish crawling onto our shores, coming over here and
developing lungs,
and forming the basis for an evolutionary process. How dare they come over here, and so on.
Yes.
And it goes right back to the Big Bang. We didn't ask for the Big Bang. Big Bang coming over it, and so on. So, and it's funny, but it's ever. We all come from Adam and Eve, after all, isn't it? You know, or from the rudimentary fish, or from the single cells, and so on.
Some of us don't actually evolve very much, myself included.
No, we have our great similarities and our great uniquenesses as individuals. So to generalise about nations or necessarily religions, which I probably just about did earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Broad brush and all that.
A broad brush is something that one shouldn't do. But on the other hand, the trends of reasons for migration, war, places of war, has been mentioned. Are there? They're observable as the causation of migration of different in different forms. How does one deal with it? Well, I think you've got to take a rational view that the numbers in the case of UK are too high. I mean, I think Spain has a population of indigenous Spaniards of 45 million and goes up to 65 or something absurd when tourists are in play. And so it's a slightly different sort of demographic to what one might have in the UK, where that's not the issue. It's a certain sort of overpopulation, overcrowding, overly heavy demands on our infrastructure and services.
Just so you know, Spain's population, according to 2023.
Oh, no.
No, 48.35 million.
Oh, there you go.
But 70% of Spain is uninhabited. 70%.
Well, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, if you've got a sort of scrub, if you've got mountainous sort of areas where there's hardly any water, for one thing,
right.
And you're not going to. But you're not going to be up there, are you? Not really.
Italy, 58.99 million. Portugal, just over 10 million.
Yeah.
Wales, here we go.
Four.
Well, actually, it's actually, here we go. 3 million. Oh. 107,494. But obviously, the Joneses might have got busy.
They make an awful lot of noise for any of that number.
I tell you, the Arms Park or the Stade de France, whatever it's called now. The Principality Stadium, thank you. Anyway, 952-78-4000. Something from ghettos, get Elvis on the line in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Also, I can hear Dave Hodgson singing that from where I am. One should apply oneself to learning a language. Overcrowding. Population is not that high, and density is not that high in the UK. I mean, if you've ever driven, Tim, from Liverpool up the northwest coast, so you go up past Lancaster, people go, it's overcrowded. You drive for 4 hours, and there is nothing from, like, Preston onwards.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you might as well say, here be dragons on the side of the roads.
Yeah.
You can't call in on the WhatsApps. I'm really sorry about that. If you want to call in and get your viewpoint across, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Here's a question. Somebody said, this is the Big Bang theory, and we are all descended from Adam and Eve, or rudimentary fish. Somebody's asked me the question, so if we are descended from apes, etc., why are the apes still here? If you know the answer to that particular one, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. On the poll on our official Facebook page, which is Talk Radio Europe Official, I'm asking the question, is Starmer right to describe the UK as a nation of strangers? 40% say yes, he is right, and 60% say no, he isn't. And we have no knowns. Looking at that one, so please get your votes in on that particular one as well. We would love to hear from you here on Viewpoint. Just to let you know what's coming up, by the way, on today's show. After today's show, excuse me. Well, following me with Stephen Ritson. He will be Maureen. I keep sending you messages saying you can't call in. Now, if you can't read the messages, it's like, you know, you should be this high to be on this particular ride. We cannot take phone calls on the WhatsApp. What can we not take phone calls on, Tim?
I think it's the WhatsApp.
You are absolutely correct there. So following me will be is Stephen Richardson. And finally, for Stephen Richardson, we'll be talking, Selena brings us the Lifestyle Show. She'll be talking to the wonderfully named Cornelius N. Grove. That sounds like a gentleman who played third batsman in the lower Sussex leagues. He's talking about how other children learn, what five traditional societies tell us about parenting and children's learning. I hope it's the Spartans. Following that, she'll be chatting to Thatcher's... Oh, okay. Tom Allen, about On the Roof. I thought it said Thatcher's Journey, but it's A Thatcher's Journey, as in people who do thatched roofs. Talking to him about all things you need to know about thatching. And Hannah joins us with TRE in the afternoon. Her guests will include James Longley, Power Through, Going to a Prison Changed One Man's Life, Helping Him to Become a Multi-Millionaire. There's some incredible who you can meet in these prisons. Also, she's chatting to Dee Anderson about growing up with Thunderbirds. Now, just that surname alone will mean that Anderson, of course, Gerry Anderson, was the creator of Thunderbirds, and Gerry Anderson's wife was the voice of Lady Penelope. Yes, indeed. Very good, me lady.
Yes.
And the driver for Lady Penelope was called Parker.
He was.
It was. Very good, me lady, if you remember that.
Yeah, it's a fine... Yes, he was a the wrinkled retainer.
He was the chauffeur, yeah, very good, me lady. And because yeah. Lady Penelope had a wonderful, bright, sort of pink Rolls Royce that fired stuff out. I remember because I had that in the Thunderbirds toys I had. Anyway, at present, nothing. Following that will be Howard Brereton with Spain Today. Before this show is repeated in all its glory between 7 and 9. That's all happening today on TRE Talk Radio, Europe, your voice in Spain.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Looking at the poll again, yeah, we're still at 40% think that Keir Starmer is not right. We are not a nation of strangers in the UK. And 60% say that he is wrong. Meanwhile, Dr. Jerry Hagan has got involved. Good morning to Jerry. Good morning, Jerry. Listening out there.
Jerry.
So, we are not descended from apes, Giles. Sorry, Jerry. Homo sapiens and apes have a common ancestor, not even remotely the same as being descended from apes. So there you go. You see, trust the good doctor. To pull me up short on that one.
That's one, Jerry.
That's where you go. Thank you, Jerry. Even though you're not with us, we feel your spirit moving amongst us in mysterious ways. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Another thing is, you know this thing about this attack on Sir Keir Starmer's, one of his residences? I mean, he was not there. He's at 10 Downing Street. But just a lone person going, who's obviously not completely got the full set of crayons in his box. You could go down the route of saying that we're getting more, we're getting more and more polarized in our politics. But let's move on from that. I'm gonna take a quick break and then we'll get back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Yes, indeed. Last 30 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint, joined in the studio by Tim Stafford. We're going to get away from migration because there's been a new world leader. Indeed, it's one of the smallest countries. I think it is the smallest country, the Vatican State, isn't it? Is it San Marino and...
Horses? Yeah, I think that's right.
Anyway, so we have Pope Louis XIV, which is... Leo, sorry, not Louis. Yeah. Let me check this one, actually. I'll just get my names right. Come on, somebody. Somebody tell me I'm not correct. So, the new Pope, it doesn't have a bleeding name of it. Anyway, the Leo the 14th, not Louis the 14th, that was, of course, the Sun King. American.
Yeah.
Spent an awful time in Peru. With obviously Catholic Church there. They said that he's going to be continuing the work carried out. Thank you very much, the Vatican is the smallest, thank you. Going to be carrying out the work of the previous Pope Francis. So, lots of rejoicing. The usual speech calling for peace in Gaza, Ukraine, da, da, da. This will have an impact on American Pope, though? It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yes, the first. And I think, popes. They hold, obviously, a very significant church together, the Catholic Church. And just on the edges, well, sometimes not quite so much on the edges, that they do have a sort of political standpoint. But it's very slight and does have slight affiliations here and there. But in general, it's hard to think now, and back in the mists of time, Pope Pius the Ninth and people of that kind would have had some considerable influence politically. These days, that is not the case. There's a sort of moral drive behind popery, if you like, and that's all their mission really is. I mean, what can one say about him? He does look in reasonably fine fettle, so he might be there for some time. And all power to him, because you know what we don't want is any sort of theistic government in any of our countries in the Western world. So to have the likes of Pope Leo and other Archbishop of Canterbury and so on as heads of their churches, and our royal family being ostensible heads of a church, is significant in its sort of its holding of the basic religious sensibilities of the nation, or in the case of the Pope, of many nations.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the most the worst popes in history. Actually, it's always because there are 266 popes. You know, that's the total number of popes in history. And I'm just trying to think of the one who there was one who that was Benedict the Ninth. Yeah, he was quite something. He got to all sorts of trouble. But there was one who spent the equivalent of $10 million on a hat in crosses and diamonds, which I quite liked. And then there was the warrior pope, who was said to have been, he was rumored to be the gates of Saint Peter, his army. He likes going to war. He picked a fight with the Ottoman Empire, which is always a good move. Invaded Florence, and I think it might have been Milan as well, just to keep the people on their toes.
It's supposed to be a direct line of accession. It doesn't mean a genealogical or accession from Saint Peter, who. If you look at the sort of early formations of the Christian church and how people came together, had an apostolic leader, and popes have popes have been in an accession from that. It's a continuation from the actual time of Christ and so on. And so it goes on, the great theatre of churches. I say theatre, I don't mean as in a war theatre, I mean as in the stage. I think I'll spend this much on a hat and I'll walk onto stage looking magnificent.
Yes.
And so they do. And all this strange invention that religions come up with, the sort of... the creo, the whole sort of sway some incense through here, for whatever reason that might be. Tremendously inventive, worshipful ways.
Pope Julius II was the warrior pope, by the way, just so you know.
Was he?
Yes.
Ooh, well, I don't know. Yeah.
For 1443 to 1513. But, you know, it's you know, that hopefully they, you know, hopefully the new pope will have some sway. I mean, he's going to go to Ukraine, which is going to be interesting if he's going to make an official visit to there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's going to. But you see that.
Well, straight away, this is kind of what I mean, that he has already indicated, and with this visit too, that he has. He's alongside Ukraine in its efforts to maintain its sovereignty. Which is a statement in itself of intention that perhaps Europeans generally should follow, that the Ukrainians do need our support, and he's made that clear with this visit.
952-78-4000, looking at some of the bits and pieces coming in, if you want to get involved in today's show, those are the numbers. The poll at the moment, is Sir Keir Starmer right to describe the UK as a nation of strangers? 34% of you say yes, 34% of the listeners say yes, it is a nation of strangers. 66% say no, we are not a nation of strangers. A quick break and then more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with John Brown.
Yes, indeed. If you want to get involved with today's show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Looking at some of the headlines, Gérard Depardieu has been found guilty of sexually assaulting two women. The French actor was convicted by a court in Paris of groping the women during the filming of a movie in 2020. Donald Trump's arrived in the Middle East and shook hands with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The US president's hoping to secure new investment for the United States on his 4-day trip. I think the Saudis have gifted a new jet. To Trump. He was tweeting this morning, I'll have a check on that, about as opposed to take over from Air Force One. What could possibly go wrong with that one? A 21-year-old man's been arrested on suspected arson attacks on two properties and a vehicle linked to Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer in North London. Met Police says the suspect remains in custody. Marks and Spencers has admitted some personal data of customers was taken by hackers in its recent cyber attack. The retailer insists no usable information, such as passwords or payment details, was taken though. And in sport, Andy Murray will part ways with Novak Djokovic just days before the French Open begins. He has said the former number one had been working with the 24-time Grand Slam winner as a coach. And those are your headlines.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Qatar is giving the 747. Thank you very much for that to the United States government. Hey, I'll have a 747, as you do. Let's go back to some of the points that we covered perhaps a little bit earlier on in the show, then, looking at the way that reform has sent shockwaves through the establishment. It seems to be gaining kinetic energy as people, I mean, and as I said before, speaking, I think, as this was last week, talking about the old two party. I mean, it was conservatives or Labour before, and now it seems that conservatives are becoming almost the third party because reform is showing great gains. Is do you think Kimi Badenoch doesn't seem to be imposing much of a strategy upon the conservatives? Keir Starmer, a succession of unpopular moves by Chancellor Rachel Reeves. We've already pertained to the winter fuel allowance being cut. This whole now talking tough on immigration. And also this cozying up to Donald Trump. I mean, on the announcement about the trade deal that was being done between the UK and the US, and Sir Keir Starmer referring to the president yesterday as Donald in a very sort of chummy way. Now, with his policies, you would think that Trump and Starmer were on complete opposite ends of the political scale. And perhaps Starmer doesn't realise, or Sustia Karma even, doesn't realise perhaps the emotions that President Trump sort of kindles, or when he comes over, when he's due to have a state visit in the UK, and this was before all the tariffs were a thing, and you know that entails the full carriage ride, the whole bits and pieces. The UK public, I think, aren't to a man, woman, child, and whatever else you're identifying in the corner over there, perhaps aren't the biggest fans of President Trump. I mean, do you think this might all go horribly wrong and backfire, not only on Trump, because he is notoriously thin-skinned and he might describe the UK as a nation of losers, but also Starmer. If you align yourself with somebody like Trump, then it is key Labour values seem to be being undermined, as you might see with this thing on immigration. And if you go to the right and try and garner some of their policies, then all you're going to be doing is are you going to woo over conservatives who are going to reform, and are you going to lose long-term Labour Party members who will just not vote in the next election, just decide cross none of the above.
I think that as far as Trump having a state visit, and there's the inevitable protests that might run around it, of these sort of people who've got plenty of time to go and protest about all sorts of ridiculous things. In the world of diplomacy and trade, what one doesn't want is just to create unnecessary enmity when somebody in the shape of Trump is doing something which he perceives to be good for his own nation. He's not necessarily having any undue influence on the politics of anywhere else, although he would like to do that. Mm-hmm. So we should allow these things to happen. And if people want to have a voice and protest, then absolutely fine. I don't think that you can carry the example is, why would one, let us say, have Prince bin, whoever it might be from the Middle East, whose perhaps human rights record or indeed balance of treatment of genders or whatever it might be might be at odds with people's views and sensibilities. One could protest about every visiting leader on some ground or other, because they're not our own. In fact, we can protest about our own as well. I mean, there have been many, many protests about Keir Starmer.
The London mayor, of course.
Yes, of course. So we protest about our own as well as we can protest about any other visitors. I don't think that should enter into whatever negotiation deals, as Trump likes to call them, or friendliness, if that's possible, that takes place.
9527840000 is the phone number. Be good to hear from you. Coming in on the WhatsApp. We got that one. Got that one in already. And somebody sent in, of course, the infamous picture of Donald Trump as the pontiff himself. Yes, indeed, that would have been a sobering thought for most of us.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
The
Remix, a recap of the best interviews of the week.
Giving all foods their proper names rather than going, that's super healthy, that's rubbish, that's junk. Those words sets people up to think of food as an emotional thing, whereas actually at the most fundamental level, it's not emotional.
In the office, try to have a cup of coffee with the person that furthest away from you in terms of thinking, in terms of background. You can learn something remarkably about that person, but at the same time, you also learn something about yourself.
Tune in Saturdays and Sundays from 2 p.m.
and help the public understand that these are not caricatures. You know, these are people with real problems trying to do what I think is a really important job, and so they are brutally effective. What they do is not illegal, but it can cause a lot of harm.
The Remix on TRE.
If your new home is this sunny and cheerful country, if you want to learn and enjoy Spanish customs and culture, if you want to get informed and be part of the Spanish community, join me, Howard Brereton, on Spain Today, weekdays from 6 p.m. here on Talk Radio Europe, and enjoy Spain.
I'm Giles Branner. Did you know that listening to Let's Talk can make you interested in things perhaps you never even wondered about before?
Some of the biggest companies in Britain were run and owned by Quakers. Lloyds Bank, for example, Clark's Shoes, and Cadbury itself.
Views and historic milestones that will open a new perspective on the world around you.
The West threw billions and billions of dollars in private investment, in government money, trying to make a market economy out of Russia.
Join me, Giles Brown, on Let's Talk weekdays from 10 a.m., except Tuesdays, here on Talk Radio Europe for a distinct look on life.
In some ways, inequality is inbuilt into the universe. What we should be caring about is unfairness more than inequality.
Let's Talk is brought to you by ULEZ Prosperity. Let ULEZ Prosperity make the most of your money whilst you enjoy your new life in the sun. ULEZProsperity.com.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Okay, into the last, blimey, 6 and a bit minutes of this morning's Viewpoint. I'm joined in the studio by Tim Stafford. You've got the numbers if you want to get involved. This coming in from Farah, who says, in 2020, Keir Starmer said, poor housing, poor public services are not the fault of the migrants, they're political failure. And yesterday he said, he suggested that the pressure on housing and public services is because of migrants. So he seems to have a complete turnaround in less than 5 years. Excuse me. Meanwhile, James says, Keir Starmer is a dour, duplicitous, thin-skinned, po-faced, sanctimonious hypocrite who has no vision and talks in automatic soundbites. He believes in nothing, so flip-flops his opposition to cage voters, and that's why most people can't stand him. So I think that man, he's pushing a feeling around the image of that a bit. And somebody sent me a load of pictures of Sir Keir Starmer in happier days, when on the island of strangers, when immigrants were a jolly photo op and not an excuse for every crappy thing that's happened to a nation more committed to its extreme capitalism than its welfare of its people. Looking at, yes, so, and James has said, I think that the working class is the working class regardless of skin colour. I'm closer to a Jamaican-born brickie than I am to Jacob Rees-Mogg. I've got more common with a Polish hotel maid than I do with Nigel Farage. So Sir Keir Starmer is disgusting. Another one in from Mel, who says, Keir Starmer spent his entire career advocating pro-immigration. And now, because of the surge of reform and Labour's disastrous local election results, he's suddenly peddling anti-immigration rhetoric. He will literally say anything to catch a vote. Ian Dale said that it was a speech that Nigel Farage, Swella Braverman, or Robert Jenrick could have given. Be branded It's a disgrace for describing the UK as an island of strange strangers. And somebody else has said, I am so pleased that Sir Keir Starmer has finally joined the Tory party with his island of strangers speech. I have given him an Enoch Powell style massage, rather dashing. What's next? What's he saying next week? A, rivers of blood. B, get Brexit done. C, build back better. Or D, this lady's not for turning. So if you remember that one.
Yeah, I think typically, and these sort of infantile failures as leaders in the shape of Keir Starmer, they'll use sort of unsubtle tactics such as trying to pull the rug out from other parties' feet, which is exactly what this statement is about. I mean, it doesn't want to allow the power of a strong immigration policy to rest with one other entity. And as far as the Polish hotel maid and the
Jamaican-born bricky, you keep the Polish hotel maid out of this.
I think I've got more in common with the the Polish hotel maid.
Yes, indeed. Right now, moving swiftly on, he said in the things of full decency. I just think that's rather great, actually. What's he going to say next? Rivers of blood, get Brexit done, build back better, or this lady's not for turning. However, Chris has said, we risk becoming an island of strangers. And they've got pictures of London the day after the massacre by Hamas. We are already an island of strangers. These people are certainly alien to me. If you want to speak, live in the UK, you should speak English. It's common sense. So we're raising English language requirements across every main immigration route. That's what Keir Starmer said. And Jerry, a different one, has said, tragic to hear Sir Keir Starmer say that immigration is turning the UK into an island of strangers. What a narrow, nasty, pessimistic view of the people in the UK. People have made the UK their home from around the world, include my friends and neighbours, and are not strangers. It's the old saying, isn't it? If you've got more, was it build a bit of... Don't shut your borders, build a bigger table, or something like that.
Yes, and as far as the language matter, there are a great many people who were born in the United Kingdom who can't speak English. I mean, they're English, but they can't speak English. Look at the people of Liverpool, for example.
Greeting, Giles. Keir Rodney. Good morning, Cookie. Sir Keir Rodney Starmer, okay, is a flip-flop. Can't stand the man. He was the head of the CPS, yes, indeed. Let me just read all of that. And decided there wasn't enough image. Oh, here we go, the Jimmy Savile route, okay. He did that. Mm-hmm. Okay, disgusting. Yeah, I mean, head of the CPS, anyway. Morning, Giles. Calmer waters this week. Nothing to clean the bit between your toes, otherwise known as a toe rag. So therefore, right, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
There, if you build it, they will come. Right then, almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's viewpoint. Thank you for all the messages in. Some of them in jest as well, but I can't read them out on air. But yes, indeed, I was waiting for that too. Looking at the final of the poll today. Not only did I spell Sir Keir Starmer's name wrong, but it's not a nation of strangers, it's an island of strangers. And as John Donne said, no man is an island, and certainly not of strangers, because according to my pale...
Empire of itself, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Go on, off you go.
No, I'm not going to do the whole thing.
No, go on.
He goes on to the end of that poem to say that, for I am interested in mankind. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am interested in mankind. And that's about empathy, and it's a great poem. And we should have empathy for all who come from wherever they come from, for whatever the reason they have as human beings.
And that is the reason that I have Tim Stafford on the show, ladies and gentlemen. The poll says at the end, was Keir Starmer right to describe the UK as an island of strangers? Yes, say he is right. 70% say he is wrong. So there you have it. Thank you for all your viewpoints. I'll be back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Stephen Ritson is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsafe the World, The Week Junior and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsafe the World, The Week Junior and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.